It is time now for Appraise This, the time we welcome in Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. You can find them all the time at TQAG.com. That's Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. But right here on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Old Bones.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Old Bones, $31.5 million. Dinosaur.
Uh-huh. Oh.
That's a lot of money to pay for Old Bones.
I didn't see that. Where did they find them?
I don't know. It was in the New York Times, you know. I picked out two things from the New York Times this week. One was a terrible recipe, and one was a story about dinosaur bones. No, it's not just bones. I mean, they got the whole deal. It's not like you got a car that's all unassembled. I mean, you know, they got the whole dinosaur. So I guess it's – but, you know, what are you going to do, set it up in your house?
Well, right, unless you have a very large garage.
Oh, well, you know, our ability to spend money never fails to amaze me.
No. Yeah.
You know, I spend it on kitchen appliances and other people invest it in art and stuff.
I tend to spend it on kitchen appliances as well, but I've been curtailing my collection. Let's just
your
say.
Gadget
I've been,
collection.
I've been culling my gadget collection. So,
well, that's fine. But we do have a story of art that people spent a lot of money on. So, Greg, do you want to talk about that Calder piece?
Oh, yeah. In Chicago, at the Heinemann auction, there was a piece of Calder. It was titled The Triple Cross. It was a standing estimated at $600,000 to $800,000, and it set a record for this auction house for $1.9 million. And it's a really cool looking piece. And I think one of the reasons that it did so well is, first of all, it's a Calder. Secondly, the provenance was impeccable. And also, I think Chicago is probably a really good place to sell Calder. A lot of people know Calder only because of that gigantic sculpture they have in that looks very much like this in Chicago. So I think that recognition is something that people can identify with. So, $1.9 million for a piece that's only 31 by 37, 31 inches by 37 inches. So,
yeah, but I think good. What this also shows is that even in these crazy times, that the good stuff still sells. And I mean, said that before.
We say that
the strength,
all the time.
Yeah, the strength of really good stuff in a market, despite whatever is going on in the financial markets, will always sell. And I think it also just proves the strength not only of the online auction side of things, because I know Heinemann has grown and they've really expanded their online presence, but it's in their 38-year history, it's a record for the auction company. That's also really, really great to see that that they are moving in such a positive direction.
Now,
speaking of that, although they've been open, been around for 38 years, their online component, they have done it really right, I think, because they started out just they didn't do massive sales online. They just had specific things, and they really focused their online energies for specific things, and just it's built over the years. And I think that's much to the that's that has to be their given, you know, that's their, to their credit, that they have not just put all their eggs in one basket from the very beginning. And because we know that's what happened to, for example, the Sotheby's.com.
Right.
They just sunk all of this money into their online portion just because they thought that was the greatest thing.
The next big thing.
And then
the next top thing.
You know, so I think Tyman and some of the other auction houses are doing it the best way, and they're building their online presence. And once that happens, there's no going back. So
slow and steady. Well, another company that's doing that is Heritage, and they just sold, and this was, I think, last week, October 9th, they sold. Marshall, did you have a Polaroid camera? Those Instamatic land cameras.
Now, I've got a great story. Not only did I have a Polaroid Instamatic camera, my dad did a show for a Polaroid convention. And are you talking about the cameras that opened up and the lens came out and you put the film in the back?
The photo comes out.
So my father did a convention, right? And he wouldn't take any money from them, so they gave him a bunch of these cameras. There's still somewhere one of them left. They were amazing cameras, and I bet you it's got to be worth some bucks.
Well, it's funny enough, Andy Warhol had one, and he used it. It was a Polaroid SX70 that he used often, and Heritage just sold it, owned by Andy Warhol, and it sold for $13,750. It was October 6th, so it wasn't the 9th, it was October 6th they had this. And it was the camera that Warhol used for a lot of his models. And there have been a number of those Polaroids. I know Julian's has offered some, I know Christie's has offered some, Sotheby's as well, and a number of other auction companies. But he used that a lot to photograph his models or to do things. And it was that sign of that pop culture. You know, I remember having that. It was the neatest thing when we would have the photos and watching it develop.
We used to fan
the photos.
Used to.
Do you have any idea where it is, Marshall?
No, but we had five of them. My father did crazy things like that. Like once he did a gig for some for Bally. It's now Bally, but you know they used to make these indoor bowling alleys. They used to have all these games, like shooting games and stuff. And so, and once again, he didn't take any money for it. So one day, big truck showed up at our house, and we got shooting games, pool tables, indoor skeet. I mean, and all those are gone now. So, but it's really amazing what comes around. Now, I want to get back to the dinosaur, because this was a Christie's. The dinosaur was expected to sell for $6 to $8 million, $31.8 million. The dinosaur, when it's put together, stands 13 feet high, 40 feet long, 188 bones. Now, here's the part that really gets you upset, because you don't know now whether it's going to be in public view anymore. It took more than 30,000 hours of manual labor to excavate and restore the skeleton.
Wow.
30,000 hours. And now you hope that the person who purchased it will keep it on display, because it is a totally intact T-Rex.
It's probably magnificent.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to look it up. I can't.
Yeah,
I'm on my. The reason I asked you earlier if you could hear me, okay, because I'm on my cell phone this morning, because for some reason, I'm dead in the water with the internet, so I'm not even able to get Skype open. So I was going to just Google that and see what I'm going to have to look that up, because that's fascinating. I love when those things happen, and I hope this is the one thing that I is always a little disappointing when they have these type of auctions, is whether or not the person who buys it does decide to still
display.
Leave it to the people to look at. So, if you've ever, I'd like to find out where it came from, because if it took that long to excavate and then put it all to and then make it presentable in a display, it's going to take a long time. They have to manually take it apart piece by piece.
I wonder if they numbered the bones. Like A, B, B. You know, let's put A to A, B to B.
It's just one of those stories, though, that you look at. It's been on display for about 10 or 15 years, and everybody's, because it's one of the few totally intact T-Rexes.
Totally intact. Yeah. Well, that probably also is why it sold for so much, because it had been on display, so people had seen it, they've known it, they've known about it, and it has a lot of provenance, a lot of history, a lot of very tangible history that people have seen. I have one last story that will tie us back to antiquity. This was just reported in ArtFix Daily News feed. A tourist returns stolen items to Pompeii, citing negative energy. I guess 15 years ago when they were visiting there. And I thought, okay, when I was reading this, I thought, oh, what did they pick up, a stone or something? And no, she took up, it was a piece of an amphora vase. There were tiles. There were different things that, I mean, like 10 or 15 different things that were taken. And I just thought, how, especially having been there a couple years ago, I just think that's terrible. But she said, because all of this bad energy and bad things were happening, she didn't want to pass that down in her family. So she packed them up and sent them back to Pompeii. And I posted this on Facebook. I said, this reminds me of that Brady Bunch episode when they took something from Hawaii, from their Hawaiian vacation. You know, people don't take stuff from these places. You're not supposed to.
Wasn't it American that did that?
It does not. I don't know. A Canadian tourist from Canada.
I don't know why people would want to do something like that, because, gosh, you have to know that it's negative energy to do it.
No. And it was 5 artifacts, not 15. It was 15 years ago, and it was 5 artifacts, and it was 2 white mosaic tiles, 2 pieces of an amphora vase, and a piece of ceramic wall.
I have to question how she got out of there. I mean, that either she had a very big purse, or I mean, how do you walk out with a piece of wall? I just don't get it, because, you know, when we were there,
well, that big canvas bag, maybe.
Yeah,
but they were checking
all over the place. That, and then if you even look like you have in your eye, like the thought of wanting to pick up something, they'll get you. They'll get you.
Yeah, because no, they were on us. Well, even our tour guide, even when we went in, I mean, they said, this should go without saying. I mean, do you remember that, Craig? This should go without saying, but please leave everything where it is. Don't take something home as a souvenir. I mean, but yeah, I guess they do have to say it because of stories like this.
That's just an amazing story. I mean, that would be like going into a national park. And taking something out of the national park.
Let me chip a piece of this redwood.
Yeah, no,
let me
really.
Yeah. To take that.
Yeah. I have an experience with that, because my uncle, when I was a kid, they went in the 50s. They were on their way out to Disneyland, the opening of Disneyland, and so on the way out, they stopped at the redwood forest, where they have the petrified wood, the petrified forest. And I can't believe they brought back a bag full of petrified wood, different chunks. And to this day, I have no idea. I mean, back then, I guess they didn't have the petrified forest police, but people over the years have all just picked things up and think it's okay to do that when it's part of a monument. I mean, they're actually vandalizing a national park.
You know, I think everybody has stories like that. Years and years and years ago, I went with a friend of mine who's no longer with us, Peter Kuba, on a golfing trip to South Carolina, and I took the station van. Okay, on the way back, it's dark. Peter says to me, "Can you pull over? I have to go to the bathroom." So I said, "Well, there's 10 miles up." He goes, "No, I have to go now." So anyways, I pull over on the side of this road, newly constructed highway, okay? So I pull over on the side. There's nobody around. I think it's like midnight. And it's 10 minutes goes by, 12 minutes go by, and then all of a sudden I hear a on the side of the van, and he says, "What?" He says, "Open up the back door." Open up the back door. Well, they had planted trees along the, you know, the perimeter, conifers, Jesus. And he actually took the time to pull one out. But I said, "Do you know how?" Do you know how legal this is? He says, "Well, and he put it in the back of the van, and then we brought it all the way back, and then he put it in his garage with the door closed, okay, because it was wintertime." And his son came in one day and left the garage door open. And, of course, with the freezing temperatures, it died. But I always remember that when people talk about people taking things from sites. I don't know how he struggled to get that tree out. But 'cause it wasn't big. It was only about 4 feet tall. But still, he struggled.
It's human nature. It's human nature. That's all I can say.
I guess. But, yeah.
I don't know. I love museums. I don't go to museums enough nowadays because I'm tied up here. But it's so great to look back and see history as it was, and then it is just nothing like seeing something that's from another age or another era. It really is amazing stuff.
And that's why I like the Natural History Museum so much in New York. It's such an amazing place, and when you know you think of dinosaurs, and that's the first thing you think about when you're there, because they have a tremendous fossil and dinosaur collection there. So I'm really excited about looking, when I can finally get back on the internet, looking this up and reading about it, because I'd like to know where it was originally found, and there must be some sort of a documentary about it.
Oh, yeah, I would,
even if it's written.
Yeah, I would think so. But anyways, it's a great story. And by the way, I'm going to give you some advice here now. Stick with your cell phone, because there's no talk back at all when you're using your cell phone.
Oh, well, I had to actually quickly download Skype, because I don't use it on my cell phone, because it cell phone's so small, I have a hard time reading it. So, but yeah, I can hear you very clearly without having any feedback or anything. Yeah, so
bring it out of the pocket every Tuesday morning.
Oh, next week we have to tell you about our sojourn yesterday. We had quite a That's a lead for next week. We had quite an adventure yesterday.
So we'll talk about yesterday's adventure next Tuesday.
All right. Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Hey, okay. You too, Marshall. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. Once again, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.